Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
When God asked Cain about his brother, Cain said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Someone listening to the Sermon on the Mount might have asked Jesus, "Am I my brother's eye surgeon?" Because Jesus commanded us to remove the log from our eye so that we can see clearly, to remove the speck from our brother's eye. So the answer is yes. Jesus does indeed expect you to be your brother's eye surgeon. The log is something that you can remove from your own eye, but the speck, very often, that's something we need a brother's help with. So what about the people who need your help? Will they get it?
Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the log in your own eye? Don't try to fix someone else's sin without first dealing with your own. And sometimes I think people think that this passage ends right there. Or they think that what Jesus really meant to say is this: how can you say to your brother, "Let me remove the speck from your eye," when all the time you have a log in your own eye? You hypocrite! Just mind your own business and leave the other guy's eye alone! That's not what he said. He didn't say leave it alone. He doesn't say keep your nose out of your brother's business. He doesn't say sweep it under the rug. What does Jesus say? Verse 5. First, take the log out of your own eye. Why? Then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. See, I think sometimes people use Matthew chapter 7 as an excuse to neglect church discipline. They don't ever confront anybody on sin because of the whole log in your eye thing. They never confront anybody. They never say anything about anybody's sin. They don't lift a finger to help a brother or sister who's in sin. They don't want to be involved in any conflict or anything that's going to make them uncomfortable or less popular in the eyes of men. And so they just say, "Well, you know, I've got logs in my own eye, and so I'm in no position to confront anybody, and so I'm not going to say anything." Jesus does not allow us to say that. The whole purpose of performing the logectomy on yourself is so that you can perform a speckectomy on your brother. Right? You're supposed to remove the log so you can remove the speck. It is not loving to leave your brother in sin. That is never loving. In Leviticus 19:17, remember last week, do not hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke him frankly. It's not an act of love if you leave him in his sin. That's an act of hatred. Sin, we need to realize how horrible sin is. It is harmful to the person. It's worse than arsenic. It's more damaging than the Ebola virus. It's more dangerous than if somebody has a loaded gun pointed at the head. If someone is indulging in sin and you don't lift a finger to help them, either you hate that person or you just simply don't believe what the Bible says about how serious this whole thing is. See, God didn't design us to be able to overcome our own sin by ourselves. We need each other's help. That is by God's design. Even though I have God's Word, I have the Holy Spirit living in me, still, I need you to overcome my sin. I need my brothers and sisters in Christ to help me discover and defeat the sins in my life. That's the way God designed the church. Now, it is the church. We should note that this is for brothers. You notice Jesus specifies a brother. We don't concern ourselves with removing specks from the eyes of unbelievers. I mean, you don't walk up to a corpse and say, "Hey, you got a little something there, let me help that." I mean, the corpse, he's got a whole bigger problem than a speck in his eye, right? So we're not dealing with unbelievers at this level. We're worried about giving them life. But for people we love in the family of Christ, we first remove the log from our own eye so that we will be able to, he says, see clearly. And I'll say a little bit more next time about this, Lord willing, but the idea is you need to be able to see clearly to remove the speck.
being able to help a brother requires clear vision, very, very acute, clear vision. It takes insight. I mean, the last person you want operating on your eye is a blind surgeon, right? Doing this kind of surgery on your brother requires a very clear eyesight spiritually. Yet there's a lot of things you need to understand. You've got to understand what part of this is sin, exactly what the sin is in this person's life. You have to be able to differentiate between symptoms and causes in their heart. That's hard. You have to be able to sort out which parts of the things are sin and which part are just not socially acceptable or whatever. You have to be able to discover what obstacles are preventing this person from following. You give them principle from Scripture, they can't seem to follow it. What's the obstacle that's keeping them from having success? You've got to be able to discern that. You have to be able to pin down exactly which part of the inner man is the main problem here. Is this sin rooted mainly in his will, or mainly in his thoughts, or mainly in his emotions, or mainly in his desires, or in his attitudes, or which part of the inner man? You have to know, what does the Bible say about that part? How do you change attitudes? Or what does the Bible say about how to change desires, or the will, or the thoughts, or whatever? If you're going to help a person, you need to know all that. It requires a very clear vision. And, you know, you hear all that, and you might think, wow, am I ever glad I'm not a counselor. Whew. Yes, you are. Yes, you are a counselor. If you're a Christian, Jesus is saying this to you. Nobody in the body of Christ gets to opt out of the responsibility to counsel when Jesus commanded us to remove the log from our own eye and then remove the speck from our brother's eye. He made every one of us an eye surgeon. I mean, all the commands in Scripture to do this are for us, one another. Colossians 3:16, teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Romans 15:14, instruct one another. 1 Thessalonians 5, build one another up. Hebrews 3:13, encourage one another daily so that none of you will be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Hebrews 10:24, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Galatians 6:1, if any one of you is caught by a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, carrying one another's burdens. All of that is eye surgery. All of it. And it's all our responsibility. It's one reason why you come to church. You realize you need to come to church for this reason? Even if you get nothing out of the sermon, nothing out of the singing time just leaves you completely flat, nobody's saying hi to you, nobody's lifting a finger to help you with your struggle, nobody's encouraging you, still it's important for you to be here just because there are people in your prayer group who need the kind of grace that's going to come from God through you and through nobody else. That's what spiritual gifts are all about. And every one of you has a spiritual gift. Every one of you has a unique spigot of God's grace that will dispense grace that nobody else can dispense. There are people who need you. If Andrew tries to help them, it's not going to help. And if their prayer group leader tries to say something, it's not going to sink in. And if I try and step in, I'm going to have the wrong approach. God has chosen in this particular situation that to reach that person, it's going to come through you. All those passages I read, every one of them say one another, one another. None of them put the responsibility just on the pastors or the leadership or the counselors or the teachers. God wants to dispense His sanctifying grace through all the members of His body in various ways. That's the way He works. The church is like a big spiritual potluck every week. You know how potluck works? I mean, I bring the green beans, somebody else shows up with dessert, somebody else has meat and potatoes or whatever, and everybody's got to bring something. If only a few people bring something, then we all go hungry. Right? See, this is what church is. And I think probably most of you have been in a prayer group long enough to understand that. I think we're starting to become aware as a church how important it is for every last one of us to learn how to counsel from God's Word because of the needs. I mean, do you feel that? Do you, in your prayer groups, do you feel that? Do you feel the frustration of just wishing you knew how to help somebody who's struggling? Wishing you knew what to say. Somebody's depressed and you just can't seem to find the words to help them bring come back into joy in Christ, and you wish you did. Somebody's consumed with worry, or they're just snowed under with sorrow, or they're bogged down with apathy, or they're stuck in some enslaving sin, and what you've been saying to them the last few weeks just isn't helping, and you wish you could just know, how do I apply the grace from God's Word to their heart? Wish I was better at that. I think most of you understand that church, it's not a place where you just come, sit down, hear a sermon, and leave. It's we understand church is a place where you sit down with fellow saints and listen to their spiritual struggles and join them at their side, sometimes for months or years at a time while they fight for their life against this sin or struggle that they've got. If you don't feel that, if you don't feel any sense of urgency in learning how to help people in their spiritual growth more, I've got to wonder if you're even participating in your prayer group. I mean, you've got to ask yourself if you're even in this war or if you're just AWOL somewhere in your own little world. Find a way to obey Jesus' words here so that you are excellent at this and you can do this. And remember, the reason why Christ commanded that you remove the log from your own eye is so that you can see clearly, to remove the speck from your neighbor's eye. And we want to do that because we care about God's will and God's word and righteousness and holiness for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
So the question for today is, how clear is your vision? Can you see clearly enough to remove the speck from your brother's eye? Do you know how to help people who are in sin? If this is something you want to get better at, you want to improve your ability to use God's Word to strengthen those who need strength, or to overcome an addiction, or develop some virtue that they lack, any of those one another commands in Scripture, if you want to become more skilled at helping brothers and sisters in Christ grow spiritually, I'd like to let you know about a class that we have available. It's called Biblical Counseling. It's 16 sessions. It's one of our most popular resources we have. And it's available on our website for free download. You can have it in written form in the book titled Wise Counsel, or you can listen to the messages or watch the videos. I'll have a link to that series in the show notes.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.